Well, welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio, alongside my wife, Pam.
Always good to be here.
Who for many, many years now, we keep showing up and having straight talk about marriage and sex and life and conflict and the good and the bad and the ugly.
Right, good and bad and the ugly of marriage and the marriage relationship, right.
And this time we're going to go a little bit of a different path than we've done in some ways, and here's how it's going to be framed. And this is just an email that came in, so we're just going to jump right in.
Do it.
To the show. So, hey, Corey and Pam, longtime listener here. Spouse and I have been part of the SMR Nation for years, and we've got two adult kids now, both dating serious partners. And I keep hoping to forward them an SMR episode with subject lines like, listen to this before you say I do. Problem is, most of your shows assume people are already married and knee deep in the good stuff. You know, things like, why won't he talk to me during sex? Or how do I stop my spouse from fill in the blank? I need something that's more like, hey, sweet 20-somethings, here's how to not blow up your engagement. Do you guys have an episode for couples who are dating or engaged? Something that covers things like how to actually work through conflict, or how to talk about sex and money before it gets awkward, or how to spot the difference between butterflies and emotional immaturity. That's a good point. Basically, I want to help my kids get a head start on the stuff it took us 15 years to learn, but without making them roll their eyes at me. If you've already done a series like that, please point me to it. If not, maybe that's a nudge from the universe before y'all, because you guys need to make one. You can even call it Before I Say I Do for real. And yes, I'll take 5% of the royalties in the form of free coaching. Thanks for what you do. Your work has shaped how we love and parent and show up in our marriage. Now let's help the next generation skip at least some of the dumb mistakes we made. A loyal SMR fan and a slightly meddling parent. And I think this fits perfectly because this is conversations you and I have had because we have college-age kids. And so there is this element of what's happening for them? What are they about to embark into when they're looking at relationships, and what is next in the stages of, you know, because college is marriage and wedding season, it seems, a lot of times.
Well, it is. And even as young professionals, you're in your mid-20s, you got a lot of that going on, and there's a lot of unknown, and you feel like, I remember being that age and feeling like, I got this down. I know what I'm doing.
And that's the big struggle, isn't it? Is how do you try to convey some information that's got a lot more nuance and hidden messages within it, because it's not sexy. In some of it, you know, some of the elements of what we try to do and way we view marriage, it's not glamorous. But it's life on life terms, right? It's marriage on marriage terms. And so sometimes that doesn't really land until you have some of the shine that's worn off. And so how do you make this happen for people that are embarking into this? And sometimes you get this because life circumstances has kind of made it to where they feel like I'm not coming into this all fairyland and hocus pocus and it all is going to be fine, Hallmark and Hollywood stuff.
Sure.
But there is an element of, I think we could do this two ways that we'll try to do it alongside each other with this episode, is how do we embark some good information? And then how do we also help the parents be the source of good information all along the way too? Because I think those can go along concurrently, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so this is oftentimes about realizing when we're talking about preparing for marriage, and that's what the extended content you and I'll share. Here's some of the things we wish we knew going into this thing.
Yeah.
We'll make it kind of personal, which is going to overlap with some of what we're going to talk about, obviously, too.
Sure.
But this is more about it's not about compatibility or tips. You know, like, hey, make sure you're having a regular weekly conversation about blah blah blah, because those aren't sustainable most of the time. I mean, life gets in the way.
Okay.
And instead, this is more about character development, emotional maturity. Who are you becoming in this process before you start talking about a we? So you really have to flip the script to see it as, are you being something that's of character and of maturing and of wisdom? And
yeah, don't try and find your identity in someone else, or all my friends are in relationships and
right,
getting married, and I'm not, woe is me, right? That this is a time to.
It's all still part of the laboratory.
Ground yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all the process of becoming something that you value, that mm-hmm. is of worth, that is of meaning and importance. Mm-hmm. And so it's realizing that this the entirety of relationships as we think of it, particularly marriage, is about growing up. It's about growth. And that happens in every relationship we have. How are we growing? How am I evolving in my relationship with my parents? And I think parents can have the same thing. How am I growing in my relationship with my children as they are growing? How do I adjust? Because isn't it easy as us as parents to still think I'm talking to a younger teenager or parenting a kid that didn't know how to tie his own shoes for years?
Right. So we immediately jump into the, here's how you do this rather than, right. What do you think?
Right. How do I walk alongside you and watch you struggle some when it really pains me to watch you struggle? Mm-hmm. And so it's realizing there's a huge difference on how we need to operate alongside and become a resource, not the ones that are constantly teaching.
Well, to that point, big picture, in the email, they're like, how do we keep them from having to take 15 years like we took? And I would pose the question, do you think that you're a wiser person because you had to take 15 years to learn it?
But there is something that comes within the process that is only found in the process. Is that what you're describing?
Yeah. I think there's some things that you just come out better because you walked through it. And it's the rare person who's actually going to listen to the wisdom of the elders before them on every situation. Mm-hmm. Right. And they don't have to walk through that trouble because they're just discerning mm-hmm. what's being presented to them and they don't walk through those things.
And one way, and this is a good little pivot too, because one thing I'm thinking about is as a younger child that's becoming an adult or is into their adulthood and they're trying to navigate and figure out relationships, they're going to ask questions at different times, particularly pain points that they experience in their own. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the focus is on how come they fill in the blank. And this is an opportunity to start introducing differentiation in all of the relationships. You know, we've done this with ours, and at least in some aspects of being able to start pivoting back and forth to, okay, wait, you're the common denominator in this. What's going on with you in this? Not trying to be accusatory, but what's right. your culpability in some of the dynamic that's happening? How are you tolerating some things that maybe you don't need to be tolerating? And that starts to teach a different way to relate. And so if you get a chance to share some of your journeys as an older married person, mm-hmm. make sure you're doing the same path of sharing your journey, not, well, your father, he blah, 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 because that's not stuff that you have control over. Mm-hmm. And instead it's, well, you know, your mom, she Blake always wouldn't know. It's one of the things I've recognized that I've had to really wrestle with in my marriage with your mom is, and you kind of, you just are self-disclosing of your evolution as a person.
Not your spouse's, but yours.
Right.
Yeah.
And that starts modeling what you're hoping they will pick up on. Of how do I take responsibility for myself in these things?
I think that's a huge thing to point out, in that we think we can speak for our spouse, but that doesn't necessarily go very far when we're communicating with someone else.
Right.
Right.
Well, and this is one of those things that, just as a little tease for the extended content, you've had this with our daughter when she early on, late high school, early college, you mm-hmm. guys were having a conversation and the subject of our relationship came up and our journey. Mm-hmm. And she asked a pointed question of what was something that happened that was bad or something. Mm-hmm. And you kind of gave a frame of it a little bit, but when she asked for more, to your credit, which mm-hmm. I appreciate this, was, that's not my story to share, honey. Mm-hmm. That's Dad's. If you want to talk to him about it, you need to talk to him about it, because it's up to him to want to share it or not.
Yeah.
And that was an honoring of, hey, I'm going to own what's mine, but I'm not going to share what's not mine. And that's kind of this idea of, how do I keep it in the frame of, this is about my journey. This is about me and what I'm doing, what I'm learning, who I'm becoming. And that's the whole process we want to try to get across to the next generation as they go into relationships. Because it's realizing, well, I came across this phrase, I think it works really well, is we don't marry a soulmate. We build one together over time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where the value and the meaning comes into play.
Yeah.
It's so much deeper.
Well, and to your point about that conversation with our daughter, I think that that type of communication builds trust with them, because if they're seeing that you're not going to, whether it be share someone else's story or throw someone else under the bus or whatever that may entail, they're going to know that you're not going to do that with them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Start being an example of what you want them to be too. And that's the whole concept too, is we've used the phrase in marriage of be somebody that I would want to be married to.
Yeah.
Well, be somebody I'd want to be engaged to. In this stage of my life, if I'm in that road, would I want to be engaged to me? Or am I so over the top about things that I'm not even realizing how I'm coming across?
Yeah.
And that sets a stage for what am I getting into?
Yeah.
Right? Which then leads us to one thing about, they asked some pointers about conflict.
Yeah.
And this is worth noting, is I think it's important that every couple, regardless of stage of relationship, knows every couple's going to fight. Mature couples fight well.
Yeah, so...
because there's going to be conflict. And I don't mean fight as in what we think of as a Hollywood fight.
Right.
But there will be tension. There will be disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I love the concept of how compatibility is really defined by, is there room for both of you? You can see things differently, and it's not a threat to the relationship.
Yeah.
It's a part of a process to a relationship. Yeah, but I really want to do this. I understand that. I don't know if I'm on the same page and see it the same way as you. It's okay. We don't have to see eye to eye. And so if we can dispel a myth that conflict is just a revealing of something, that's all it is. It's not, it doesn't mean things going wrong. It means actually a relationship's going right, because it's going to expose things in us.
It is. I mean, you have to define what topic it is that would be, if you're just in the dating scene, you're going to have to define some topics where you don't see eye to eye that may be detrimental to the relationship in the long term, right? I mean, you're going to have those things. But most things are not deal breakers.
And depending on how we position ourselves, yes. But if I get dogged about things, then it starts to become possible deal breakers. If I remain blind about things, like if I'm not willing to actually rethink, what do I really believe? Because think of it, this is a good segue too into the big three.
Sure.
Because the big three on the conflicts that we have often when in marriage: money, sex, and family.
Yeah.
There's your main things that people fight about.
Faith, right?
Faith can be a component, but a lot of times, I'm going to go off of my experience with couples. Most of them are fairly aligned in faith because that's how they met.
Fair.
There's an element of compatibility already built in. And yes, it can be a big deal, absolutely, where you're not, where there's very, you know, divergent faiths. And that can become a pretty big issue that needs to be dealt with. And oftentimes it's best to deal with that prior to marriage.
Absolutely.
Because you're carrying in something that's a big value.
Absolutely.
But the other ones, so money oftentimes, and this is where we make the statement of we don't fight about things, we fight about the meanings attached to things. And it's important to understand your meanings.
Yeah.
And so if you're engaged, if you're dating, what do these things mean? And as parents, we can have these conversations with our kids. What does money mean to you?
Yeah.
As you're starting to understand the value of a dollar, hopefully, because if you don't understand the value of a dollar, then money means nothing, because it's coming from other people.
And here comes some tension because someone's bringing in some debt.
Right. But money often reveals value, control, security, identity.
Yeah.
Because it allows us to portray something is some ways we look at it, or it allows us to feel safe about something in the future, or to have the comfort of knowing where my next meal is going to come from, that I can cover it. I mean, that's Johnny Carson's phrase about the only value of being rich is you don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. That's the only thing it provides.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of truth in that statement.
Yeah, it doesn't provide happiness, but it's sure worth knowing and having those conversations before you dive deep into it.
Absolutely.
Where does someone rest? And if you're meeting in college, is all this paid by student loans? Right? Are we walking into
and
debt?
That's where, so just a pro tip, we've got some friends that have actually told us this. If you're starting to date and you're getting serious, then pull credit reports on each other and have a conversation.
His phrase to his son was two most important things. Number one, what's her faith? What does she believe in? Does she believe in God? Once you get that understood, number two, what's her credit score?
It's real because we're bringing things in that then immediately set things at a foundation that can be very volatile, uncertain, stress-inducing.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, when you're starting a life together, most of us start poor.
Most of us do.
So it's realizing, okay, how do I look at the values of these things and what's going on? What's the real story? And this is where I'm surprised it's taking this long to actually say it. There is research that shows premarital counseling is a far better route of success in a marriage than just diving in blindly.
Yeah.
Because there's frameworks, there's instruments, there's someone that walks alongside you, and it helps you uncover where are the problem points we may have where we won't see eye to eye on things, because we're all going to have them.
Yeah, yeah.
Money was a big one for us on different meanings.
It was.
We both had vastly different meanings as it associated with money, and we also had vastly different meanings as it associated with the other one, sex.
Yeah.
Because sex reveals a lot of things about us.
It did. It did. The counseling was useful for us for sure. I honestly don't remember them talking much about money within that at all, but there were fabulous things that definitely benefited us from that. So,
right. And here's the thing to realize, I think, as a parent talking to a child for our own thinking, not necessarily we say this, but for our own thinking, even if your child has no sexual trauma or some of the different things that we often realize are on face value, that's going to create some issues as it pertains to your life going forward as a married person. We all have sexual baggage, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We all have baggage when it comes to this. There's shame. There's discomfort. There's uncertainty. There's naivete. Mm-hmm. There's guilt. There's all these things that we can have. And so it's realizing, okay, these are things we need to understand about ourselves because it's going to be revealed in our marriage. And so when I can help walk alongside as something's being revealed within my soon-to-be spouse or in my child, if I get a chance to have conversations, then that's important to know.
So how much of this is I'm curious, a walking alongside? That wording makes it sound like the parent is still there trying to be part of it, right?
No,
and that's not what we're encouraging.
If invited in.
Yeah. Well, and maybe the only part the parent plays is a very brief, even just an encouragement of, you need to talk with them about this, right? Here's some topics here's a topic that we never discussed until we were married for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to open up these conversations and talk with the significant other that you've got beforehand is important. I don't want it to be heard that we're encouraging the parents meddling in this relationship or whatever, because you don't want to interject yourself into your kid's relationship.
Well, when we offer up something that's uninvited, it rarely lands. It rarely is impactful.
So I think this goes to, it's one thing if I've already got adult kids that are in relationships and now I'm trying to help jump in. It's beneficial, just side note, to already have been throughout the kids' lives, starting when they're younger, mm-hmm. just conversations and being used, you know, being there for them mm-hmm. because they're more open if yeah. you've had that history.
And then this one fits into that family category too, because family often reveals loyalty, blind spots, boundaries, inherited patterns, traditions. All of these things are going to be uncovered. You know, that's that whole idea of our every family system makes sense when you're in it. But to everybody outside of that family system, it's crazy. There's a level of craziness because they just don't understand. It's like, I don't understand how you guys would do that. I don't understand how it would be happen that way.
And my family's not crazy at all.
I've met your family. Yes, they are. As is mine.
Yes.
So, and that's not a shot. That's just reality.
Yeah.
Of it makes sense to them because that's what they've carried forward.
Yeah.
And so it's realizing when you're talking about these things, it's realizing things will be uncovered. I'm going to keep coming back to this idea of we're going to discover things about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And here's where what's interesting to me, Pam, is as our role as parents with our children, when if they reach this point of creating their own family.
Yeah.
They are creating their own family, not extensions of ours.
Yeah.
The goal is for them not to replicate us.
Yeah.
Right? And because we can't make that happen. If they want to choose that as a target, okay, that's up to them in some ways, but it's got to be their own. And we often, as if you look at generations, take the stance of, hey, welcome to our family. And now it's like they have to act right.
Yeah.
Rather than no, they're starting their own. Hmm. And there's a big difference that I don't have right to my in-law, whatever, you know, son-in-law, daughter-in-law that's now entering the world with us, alongside us, of that's just not the way we do things. No, they're going to have their own pattern. They got to figure out. And we have to realize, what am I projecting onto them that's fueling my advice, rather than am I really encouraging them to become who they are? And that's a hard thing to do, because there are so many times I think about the times I get opportunities, even with clients, where, man, the subject matter, I got to be aware of me as I'm talking about it. Otherwise, it starts becoming something that I have not dealt with in me that I'm trying to get them to deal with. Because you need this. And it's like, wait, I'm doing the same thing and I'm not even realizing it. And we can do this with our kids all the time. And this is fueled by, I want better for them than I had for myself.
Yeah.
Rather than, why don't I get better too?
Yeah.
In all of this. Why don't I deal with me too, as I get opportunities to encourage them? Mm-hmm. And so it's just realizing these are some of the big points that are going to happen that are going to be problematic, that they will come up.
So they'll come up. I don't think we've addressed, you know, is there a good time to encourage them to have these? Or if they're, you know, they brought up the question of butterflies versus
emotional immaturity.
Yes. And.
Well, that question is answered mainly by you will discover emotional immaturity by watching actions. If you can have the courage to, not what they say, what are they actually doing? That'll tell you who people are. That's what we've told them all, our kids all the time, of don't believe a thing they say. Watch what they do.
The boyfriend or girlfriend.
That shows you
don't
who they are.
Don't believe what they say.
And on my kids too. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kids, I'm like, I hear what you're saying, but I know what you do. And those aren't always congruent. So there's a problem. there's a big problem in that gap.
Yeah.
And if I can have the courage, and this is what it takes, is I think if I can impart one thing to the generation that's not married yet, not necessarily just young, but people that haven't had a marriage yet.
Yeah.
Or even a long-term serious relationship yet, is it takes courage. It just takes courage to be willing to ask myself some tough questions. And it doesn't mean it's over or it's scary as it can maybe sound. It just means, how am I doing this as clean as I can and as upfront as I can and as engaging as I can with myself and my spouse?
They're not a spouse.
Well, soon to be spouse or partner. because then you can find out
boyfriend or girlfriend.
Fair. But then you can find out who are they? Who am I in this relationship too? Because then the goal becomes, how am I being somebody that is growing, that is worth, that has a value that's inherent that I'm living by, that then shifts the focus on how is my potential spouse working to keep up with me as I'm working to keep up with them, where we're both spurring each other on, sharpening each other, mm-hmm. not trying to change each other, which is a fine line, it seems like, between sometimes.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
But is there something else that was worth adding? Because I think when I'm going through the list, these are some of the main things that kind of jump out is just how do I frame it and how do I model it is the best way I can impart it to my children.
Did we really say how to frame it?
Yeah, that's the idea of, okay, what's going on with you? What's this? What's being exposed in you here?
Okay.
Not, well, what's so bad in the system and trying to talk them out of something that they're seeing?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes what we do is we frame it on, well, what's the other person doing right or wrong? Or they don't deserve that or those kinds of things rather than, wait, what's going on with you here?
Yeah.
And constantly bringing it back to, what's going on with you here?
That's all you have control over, so... how are you handling it? Are you handling it well?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like what you're getting from the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you like the response that's coming? I mean, it may not matter if you like it or not, but I guess it does, because do I want to stay where I am if I'm getting a response that
mm-hmm.
is not negative, uplifting, encouraging, making me better.
Right. Well, and that's right. where you get an opportunity to just ask some good questions and then model
mm-hmm.
what I've learned.
I guess what are the good questions to ask?
The good questions are the ones that keep steering back towards what's going on with you in this.
Mm-hmm.
Not what's your culpability or what's your fault or, you know, where you're actually attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how do you make sense of the dynamic mm-hmm. as you participate in it? How do you, if you were to look back and see, look back at, and I've done this with our daughter, look back at an interaction that was particularly troublesome,
yeah.
right? That kind of went sideways with a significant other potential or a friend, a real yeah. good friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at this dynamic. Now look back at you in that dynamic. What do you see about you in that? Do you see anything on, would you want to have done anything different? Would
yeah.
you want to, because then we can oftentimes have a little bit more clarity of self when we can go back and see some things and we realize I didn't do that well.
Yeah.
I was real reactive there. I was just really hurt. And now when I look back at it, that hurt wasn't, it was hurt, but I didn't need to react the way I did because I yeah. just added more issue to it. And then I'm discovering self then there.
Well, and getting them to just, hey, tell me more about this relationship. Tell me mm-hmm. more about this. Tell me about what it's like to be a 24-year-old dating these days.
Yeah.
Right. And so giving, in essence, them control of the relationship to just start, well, here, blah, 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 blah. And there's going to be a lot of discovery that maybe they have on their own as they're talking this
mm-hmm.
out loud to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't sound like a question where you have any hidden agenda. It's tell me about it.
Right.
I don't know what it's like to be in the dating world right
and
now.
And I'm also trying to understand who you are
yeah.
more and more as you see who you are.
Yeah.
Because that's good information for me as a parent of you.
Yeah.
And an ally of you that yeah. I can be there with you. And so let's kind of end it with this, that we talked about this with the soulmate idea, but I think the way if we capture Sexy Marriage Radio's message for marriage is it's not something we arrive at. It's not like just the day of. I mean, it's like focus more on your marriage than you do your wedding.
Right.
Right. There's a huge value in that.
Yeah.
Because a wedding is a day plus a ton of prep. but the marriage is lifelong.
Yes.
And so it's marriage isn't something you arrive at on your wedding day. Marriage is something that you become through.
Yeah.
And that's the whole process of marriage. And the hope is, and the prayer is, everybody becomes better and more, and they see their own value, and they grow and they evolve, and then the world is better because of that. Let's make this a little more personal as we move into the extended content.
Sure.
And we do have a time limit on this. We can't just make the extended time because there's a lot of them. I'm sure we could go for a while on what we've learned that we didn't know going in, what surprised us most, et cetera. So how about you start?
Well, surprised that my spouse can't read my mind, right? Oh, we're just one, and he knows me so well, and he knows what
little
I like.
In fact,
and
I actually can read your mind. No.
Well, that's a deeper, darker secret then, because if you could read my mind and you didn't fulfill all my desires.
Well done on flipping
then
that
you're
one.
You're purposefully, doing something. So we got, normal marital sadism going on here.
Yes, that was well done.
So, the expectation that you're going to know and you're going to be able to read me and understand and, that's there.
Yeah. It's all right. So I've got, I had an idealized version of what love meant. And to me, there was no possibility that if we were in love, that I would have times where I don't I don't like you sometimes. If I look back at our life there's things that love doesn't mean liking all the time. And there's a difference in it.
Yeah.
And so, cause it is realizing that when conflict comes up, the way we each may handle it, I'm not going to like.
Yeah.
And that's real, but it doesn't mean there's not love.
Yeah. And it's hard to separate those two things when you're younger, I think. It was hard for me to separate those two. I thought those just went hand in hand.
Absolutely. And then I also, and this is where it would rip up even more of the possibilities, if I look back at myself back then, of the goal primarily when there was tension between us, as far as I had in my mind, I don't know if this was conscious, but it was definitely reactive of how do I just get this back to no tension? I don't care if we address the issue or not. I just want the tension to go away.
Yeah.
Right. I just want back to quote unquote normal, whatever the crap that is, in that moment, because if you look at it, some of the normal wasn't good. Because there was this undercurrent of stuff that wasn't being dealt with. And it was just kind of slow boil there. That was just going to pop above the surface at the easiest times because it wasn't actually being addressed. And so if I could look at it as, wait, loving still means I care enough to lean into this and address it even when it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What fuels that is love.
Yeah.
Love for us, love for myself, love for what can be. I mean, so it's realizing the nuance in all that is a huge one.
Yeah.
If I look back at who I am now versus who I was 32 and a half years ago when this thing started together.
Right. Another surprise or what I've learned, I thought that once we got married, sex was going to be really easy. I thought, got the ring on the finger now, and this is all going to be smooth sailing.
Oh,
right?
It wasn't?
We got permission. It's all good to go. And my world was rocked when I realized it was not straightforward and easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it complicated things when you start realizing what actually is going on within that part of our life and relationship.
Yeah.
Of just what it's so much more than an act.
Yeah.
It's so much more than an act. And so I would have kind of a similar thing on that, I thought living together would mean unlimited anytime, night or day.
Right.
Simple. And instead it actually just meant, exposure into the whole of our lives together. that we start seeing, you know, that's like, this is built based on the premise of Schnarch's comment of marriage. Nothing prepares you for marriage, but marriage. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize the nuance of actually living with somebody and what that exposes you to, that, you know, some of the habits you and I each have and the way we orient towards life, mm-hmm. that's not foreplay.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah.
that's not you're coming on to me with that. Uh-uh. That's a really, that's not attractive at all. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality of life as humans. And so it's the silver linings were removed. Mm-hmm. Looking back and realizing, wow, that was a shock to the system.
Yeah.
When now it's a maturing, hopefully, of, yeah, that's, of course, that's what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's also part of a bigger picture that is sexier and yeah. is more intimate. And there's the space available within it. Yeah. Let's see. I also had, oh, no, this is yours. You go. I kind of just pivoted with what you just added. You thought romance and sex would be easy.
Oh no.
So do you got another one?
So it's phrased weird because when we first got married, I didn't think about either of us being a problem or an issue, but I would say early on in marriage, the things that we had, when there were issues, I thought it was you, mm-hmm. right? I thought you were the problem. My spouse was the problem, and I wasn't taking any ownership of my own role in it. And, oh, he's just reacting to my craziness. And so I, you know, to sum that up, I guess I thought my spouse was the problem.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. Okay. I like that one. That fits on the one I want to end it with too. And so I want to slip one in before that, and this goes back to the concept of sex, and we thought it would be easy, or there was a lot more idealized and naivete for me. I'll own that completely. Mm-hmm. I came into this completely in a lot of ways, naive mm-hmm. about, I mean, I knew how biologically and mechanically things worked, but I didn't know much more than that. So it's learning and discovering. And if I look back at who we are now and who I am now, what I didn't know that I know now is that sex has gotten better when I've stopped trying to make it perfect.
Mm, yeah.
And I've just tried to be real.
Yeah.
Just tried to be engaged. Don't have to have it figured out. I don't have to have it all work right either. Every time. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Right. It's being more genuine and true. Had no idea about that going in. I always thought it was more of a role and an act.
Sure.
That we can play and perfect. And I know I touch you in the right spot and it'll do this and all that. And like, yeah, that's a factor, but man, there's so much more.
Yeah.
And so it's when we stop trying to make it perfect and just start trying to create something that's together, it changed mm-hmm. big time. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, and this is stuff that we've talked about ad nauseum with Sexy Marriage Radio, is the idea of marriage is about growing up. That I would not have ever thought that going in. Mm-hmm. I would have probably been more in the camp of this is completing me. Now I'm whole. Mm. And thank the Lord for grad school and
right.
opening. Yeah. Opening the avenues of what I got exposed to there and then have landed in the work that I do and how it's impacted me and us and you mm-hmm. and then millions of people that have listened to Sexy Marriage Radio, the idea of how this is about maturing. There's a design behind this. God had something in mind. Mm-hmm. This isn't just happily ever after. Mm-hmm. This is probably better. This is awkwardly ever after as we're figuring it all out is the better catchphrase. But it's realizing that just the discovery of capturing the idea of marriage reveals my incompleteness better than anything else in the world. And confronting that has changed my life. Mm. That's where I would land on what I didn't know, but I know now. Because I think that's the biggest message. And it's an ongoing thing. Because anytime I think I've got it figured out, or me figured out, or you figured out, guess what happens?
Something changes.
Something changes.
And something so, changes. So it's spouse 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. Mm-hmm. Still the same DNA, but different, you know, programming.
Right. And then the power and the blessing of both of us being at a point where I think there's the courage, like we talked about in the regular version, to be able to say, I don't know about that. I'm scared about that. I'm uncertain about that. I don't know if I believe, you know, of just a, I can expose something in me that's not complete and it's not as floor dropping, terrorizing feeling in my own mind.
Yeah.
It's a, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's okay. I can allow someone to see a quote unquote weakness or insecurity or uncertainty and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed a ton too. Mm-hmm. Because then it's no longer this, we have to be strong for each other. We have to, you know, all that. Well, no, we just be real with each other. Just show up with each other. Warts and all.
Well, get the warts taken care of. There's doctors for that.
I was going metaphorical here. You couldn't read my mind on that, Pam? Well, it's been fun to kind of pivot the relationship conversation to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And if only there are ways we can figure out how to make this land easier to where it lands deep when you don't really know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're embarking into the great unknown, and we often have blinders on, because if you think about it, in some instances, would we really get married if we knew what it was going to entail? If I didn't have some rose-colored glasses on?
You know, fair question. Fair question.
Because I'm inviting a lot of things into my life. That's what I think of is years and years ago, my parents told the story of a couple that they got married later in life and both had been married before. And when she came down the aisle, she came down to the Danger Zone song.
Highway to the Danger Zone.
I went to the Danger Zone. And all the people that had been married for a while were like, that fits.
Yeah.
That fits on what you're walking into here. You're walking into the Danger Zone.
Yeah.
Yep. That tracks. And there's a lot of truth in that. But we don't want to, I just want to try to be honest and real with the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
No rose-colored glasses, but also realizing we're trying to impart a message of, it's so worth it.
Yeah.
The process of becoming in marriage is so, so worth it. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of our missions. It's a 100-year mission.
Mm-hmm.
You change one person that has children, they're watching, they're changed, who then probably maybe have children who are watching and changed, and you've changed a generation.
Yeah.
So continue the journey. Regardless of where you are in it, continue the journey. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. We want to know what's helped you. What's your journey? What's jumped out to you? Let us know. You can go to the platform or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. The platform is nation.smr.fm. Jump on the conversation because we'd love to hear what stood out to you and has helped you that we can pass along to the next generation too. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us, thanks. And we'll see you next time.